Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. You're probably already there. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with his wife, Sarah, that you just heard. He's going to sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on JackieCation.com, the website. There are many ways to support the show. The Amazon link is one. You can use an Amazon link from JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com to go to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show. There is a straight-up donation button, PayPal or Venmo, to this email address that is mine, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can just donate to the show if you like the show a lot. I think PayPal has figured out a way to do a monthly. If you want to go monthly, please do. Other ways to support the show if you want to is you can buy merch. There's Dork Forest t-shirts, and all the shirts are union made here in America, so they run a little big. Union Bayside, so if you want to look up their size chart. And then the other merch is my stand-up merch. On JackieCation.com, you can watch me do stand-up, you can look at my schedule, and the stand-up merch, a couple of different t-shirts, couple of different enamel pins, and all of my CDs and my DVD. If you want to live stream my DVD, it's over there at comedyfilmnerds.com. They have a live streaming capability, or you can get a hard copy of the DVD on my website. Oh, there are premium episodes at Bandcamp. TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com has probably 10 episodes that were done live. They cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks. If you've run out of regular episodes, go over to TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com and get some more. Other than that, I say this, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You're in my living room with Justin Marchert. Is
exactly.
That right?
Exactly. Perfect.
I did it. That's awesome. So you have an animated show called Fantasy Hospital.
I do.
And that is exciting and neat. And but people should know it's at Justin Marchert on Twitter and M-A-R-C-H-E-R-T and Justin as in Justin.
Yeah. The upside of having a super unusual weird last name is that you can get the Twitter handle.
You
and
win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You win as far as all the social media stuff. The downside is nobody can pronounce it and therefore
or
no one can remember it or spell it.
Right. Same with Cation.
Okay. You get it.
Yeah. I get it. And it is.
Do you hear Cation all day long?
Oh, yeah. People mm-hmm. are constantly trying to ethnic it up.
I hear you.
I ethnic yours up. I went with a Marcher because I thought,
people
the
do it
French.
All the time. Yep.
Is it? Are your people English? At which point they say
English, Polish, and German, and yeah. then probably French somewhere, but no one even knows where that connection fits in.
It comes in Marcher.
But it's got to be right.
And then the English go, no.
Right,
we're
exactly.
saying Marcher.
Exactly.
And so, welcome to the Dork Forest, Justin.
Happy to be here.
This is exciting. Okay, so your animated show is Fantasy Hospital, and it's fantasyhospital.com. And
yes.
then your website is justinmarchert.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Twitter and Instagram and all that is your name. So, we have that out of the way. Now we wish to discuss a television program, which I have seen the first season of and regret that I haven't seen the next, so I'm happy to hear about it, which is The Expanse.
The Expanse.
My brother has listened to all of the books.
He oh, wow.
lovely loves the books on Audible.
He should be doing this.
Well, he would love to. He did The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And ever since, he is like, why am I not doing
that
it
That tracks,
week?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, why don't you have your own podcast. And but he will be happy possibly to listen to this one. So it's a sci-fi channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
It was originally a sci-fi channel.
Okay.
And they did the first three seasons, which are roughly the first three books.
Okay.
But then they didn't renew for a fourth, but Amazon picked it up. And it's not one of these, I know, so, and it's coming, the fourth season is coming this year on Amazon, so they really picked it up right where it left off,
production-wise. Kind of perfect, yeah.
I know, usually whenever this happens, it's mm-hmm. like 6 years later, we're going to pick up Arrested Development, or Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it's like a completely different
aged.
Show. Everyone's aged, exactly, it's a whole different thing, everyone's doing other projects,
right.
like Arrested Development,
right.
we're trying to squeeze them all together somehow.
Right, you got to get them back
right.
in.
Right, but this one, they really had the foresight to just kind of pick up the reins right where they left off.
Yeah.
I think it was the same month. I think the
oh,
same month
great.
That Discovery, Sci-Fi announced they were not going to renew. Amazon stepped in. They had a huge, you know, fan backlash and fan, you know, fan.
Right. Well, the weird thing is what I've heard is that Netflix is doing this original programming, and they're making the programs, the shows, sign these things that say when they cancel them, they can't go to another platform.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a really shitty thing to do.
Yeah, why would you?
Well, I don't understand that either. You're just like, well, what, so you don't regret giving it up ever? What? I mean, that's what it feels like, right? I mean,
it's like everybody wins when they have a more life somewhere. People are still interested in it now, and they're still interested
actors
in the old
still
Netflix
work,
episodes
right?
from before.
Writers still work.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, you do that just because you don't want to be sad that you gave up something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which is just lame. Lame.
For sure.
Gold lame. And... so, Justin, here's my first question. Who wrote it? Do you remember who wrote the books?
Yes. The books are the God. Author of the books is James S.A. Corey. Oh. James S.A. Corey is not a real person.
Oh, really?
It's two authors, Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank.
Okay.
And James S.A. Corey is their pen name.
Oh, okay.
I want to say James is Daniel's middle name and Corey is Frank's Ty Frank's middle name.
Okay.
And then the middle initials, S.A., this is so deep, I don't know.
No, that's perfect.
Who's going to want to care? The middle initials.
Rangers of the Dork Forest would like the minutia.
I hope so.
Yes.
The middle initials are, I think, Abraham's daughter's initials. So I don't know why he got additional daughter credit.
Right, his daughter got credit because she's adorable.
Did. Right.
Anyway, it's people become crazy when they're parents.
But do you have a lot of German listeners?
I have some German listeners.
Because
hi, Germany.
In Germany,
yeah.
it's only James Corey, not James S.A. Corey like it is everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I should include
that. Just in case.
Exactly.
The people of Germany.
I don't want to confuse our German
listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome, German listeners. I don't get enough...
Guten Tag.
I don't get enough email from the German listeners. It's Jackie at JackieKasher.com. Give a shout out. Anyway, and how many books are there? Are there only three?
I think they're on... I think there's 8 novels of a 9 novel plan. I don't know why you wouldn't just make it 10.
Interesting.
I think that's the goal is
because
9
trilogies.
Yeah,
maybe it's
3 trilogies.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. But there's also a bunch of novellas.
Okay.
So like there's
in the
altogether, right? Altogether, there's probably like 15 or so at this point.
It's a fascinating. I mean, I have seen the first season. Here's here's what I know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a space political drama, and space opera in the fact that there's action and noir-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's sort of cyberpunky noir kind of.
Yeah.
Like he wears that hat in the first season. I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking about Detective Josephus Miller.
Yes.
Played by what's his name? Thomas Jane.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like a detective story.
Yeah.
Something's gone wrong. A rich heiress girl has gone missing in season one. That's basically
that's the plot.
The starting plot. So this detective's got to find her. And figure out what's going on. And as it unravels, we learn there's a whole political
angle
deeper,
to it.
Right.
And there's a whole political world. Like there's like planets. Planets
right.
upon planets upon
right.
planets.
Yeah. I guess we should back up and talk about the structure
about. Because the first season is entirely just following him sort of because he's just a cop, right?
Right. He's just a cop.
Is he a cop on the does he take? Is he a corrupt cop? I forget.
No, he's a good guy. He probably does.
There's
done some
grift.
He's done some shady things to get the job done.
Right, I believe.
We suspect.
Right.
He's not like a cop on the take. He's not out for.
He's not the bad cop.
Right, but he's probably done some questionable motive.
Oh, sure. It's noir-y. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. So, So the first season is him stumbling onto this case.
Right. He's trying to find Julie Mao, who is like this billionaire heiress and what's gone wrong. And then soon we get into the Rocinante crew, which
has to what?
The crew of the spaceship Rocinante.
Okay.
And they're kind of more central to the story than Detective Miller is.
Okay.
That's Captain Jim Holden and his officers, Naomi Nagata and who are the other ones? Amos Burton and you know who I'm talking about? The main foursome that are like just flying around in this Star Trek style.
Like Junker kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Right. They start out as they're working on the belt.
Okay.
The belt is the asteroid belt that exists between Mars and Jupiter.
Okay.
So like far reaches from Earth. And I think the reason The Expanse started out in the first place, The Expanse refers to expanding out from Earth.
Okay.
It's we've gone beyond Earth to Mars, and the belt turns out it has all these resources. It's ice and water and
It has all I think everything needed.
Right. I think it's like got like oxygen, gas, and stuff like that. I think it's more than just water. So anyway, it's Earth is way overpopulated by now. This is a couple hundred years in the future.
Right. Or 20.
Right. I know. It's the same thing. It could be sooner than we think. So the world has expanded. A lot of people have been born and raised in the belt area for generations.
Okay.
So he's one of those people.
Okay. So he was raised sort of on a space station on the asteroid belt in between Mars and Jupiter.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's essentially mining. That's the work
they're mining
there,
and
they're miners?
Right, getting stuff out of it.
Okay.
That's why there's this whole belt connection in the first place.
Okay. So and he's a cop on the belt or in on the station that he's on, right?
Yeah. I think it's the big major station on the belt is Tycho Station.
Okay.
I don't remember if it's. I think that's where he's based, his home and everything is. And that's on the biggest asteroid in the belt, which is called Ceres. Getting deeper, this never comes up in the show, but I learned it while teaching a special needs kindergarten class this past school year.
Really?
I substitute teach during the school year because comics have day jobs.
Exactly. Fair enough.
Comics at my level, I should say, have day jobs.
Right. I had one for many thousand generations. Yes.
Awesome. So anyway, we were doing, well, first of all, the whole world heard 10 years ago or so, Pluto was demoted as a planet.
Right.
We went from 9 to 8.
Yep.
It's now a dwarf planet. So I was playing like these movies for kids about like the 8 planets and there are Jupiter and this and that. And then the second follow-up video is the 5 dwarf planets. And I'm like, never heard of that.
Yeah.
But starring Pluto, but then there's 4 others, and one of them is Ceres within the asteroid belt.
Okay.
That's like basically the biggest
asteroid
belt.
So the asteroid belt is real.
Right, the asteroid belt is real. Right,
okay.
It's a real thing. They decided to pick out like, you know, real like that's kind of the best part about The Expanse.
Yeah.
It like really does like what could we do a couple hundred years from now and what technology do we have and how far could we make it?
Right. I think
Star Trek's a lot of fun, but like the science doesn't work. It blows your mind to think that we could get to other stars and other galaxies.
Right. I think that someone was telling me that the reason we should watch I think it was Robert Hurt, who works at Jet Propulsion Labs.
Oh wow.
As an astrophysicist, he's been on the program. He said that one of the greatest things about The Expanse is that the science is as close to right.
Right, exactly.
As they can do. They're actually working on the science. Mm-hmm. So that's fascinating.
They clearly started with like what can we do, and then the additional stuff is standing on the shoulders of the scientists and well, how about another 100 years? What could we do? Yeah.
Right.
So that's like why it's so much more like intriguing than
cool.
Star Wars, which is great. I love Star Wars to death and Marvel movies. But like The Expanse has me up at night thinking like, oh, how far are we from this drive and that world and
right? How is the world in once we get off this planet? Is it a good world?
Well, that's the crazy thing. Okay, so we talked about the asteroid belt. That's where a lot of people go to. Before I forget, another thing I learned in this kindergarten class is that like one theory about how the asteroid belt came to be is that there was another planet there between Mars and Jupiter. And it broke up at some point, maybe because of Jupiter's massive orbit pull or whatever, and became this asteroid belt.
Okay.
So like that's what a blown up or whatever destroyed planet could do. It could become just like an orbit of stones around it. So I thought that was kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
I know. That's a story in itself someone wants to do a story about what happened billions of years ago. Anywho. Okay. So the big within the world about 3 worlds.
Yeah.
There's Earth.
In the Expanse
Earth
universe,
as we know.
Earth
as we know it is, it's Earth as we know it, except probably like quadruple the population, or probably more, probably 10 times the population.
Okay.
So Earth's biggest problem is it's overpopulated. They don't show a whole lot of that. We don't see a whole lot of people living in the streets and fighting for food. Basically see
It's not District 9.
Right.
We're not seeing that.
We see the interior offices of government buildings all the time.
Okay.
So I think they could do a little better job of showing why anyone would leave Earth. And the Belt is the place with the resources. But so that's a big blue collar, you know, working class, you know, world.
Yeah.
And they do actually a really cool job with making a belt, the belt its own culture and society.
Okay.
Like they all speak this like sort of like pidgin English.
Okay.
And they all have like, you know, tattoos and like, it's kind of like, what do you call it? The Road Warrior world.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's Thunderdome like this post-apocalyptic
right, exactly.
kind of.
It's got this like a post-apocalyptic feel.
Yeah.
And then the third, world is Mars.
Okay.
Mars, it was.
The planet of Mars.
The planet of Mars, exactly.
Okay. Has been settled.
It was, right, exactly. It was settled by Earth's, Earthlings, I think they usually say Earthers,
mm-hmm.
Who decided to go out and, you know, start a new utopia, a new colony.
Okay.
Again, generations ago.
Yep.
Probably, I don't know, 100 years ago or something like that. And so they have, they don't have the population problems.
Oh.
They have, you know, they got everything like clean and nice and.
Oh, is
and,
it nice?
Efficient. Well, that's the thing. It's still Mars. It's still atmosphereless. So
right.
everything they have is still in like bubbles and tunnels and,
oh,
you know, there's no
oh,
sky
there's no
or
terraforming.
Anything. Right.
Okay.
But here's the thing. They're talking about terraforming. They have terraforming plans and,
okay.
and ideas underway, but they can't stop warring with Earth.
Oh, really?
And by war, it's more like a Cold War. It's more like a weapons race. And, well, if you guys...
Oh.
Because they're kind of, everyone's fighting for the same resources on the belt, mostly.
From the belt.
Right. So
okay.
there's this been, like, this, like, kind of deadlock underway for decades, maybe centuries.
Though if you would think, if you could get... Like, if there were 80 billion people on this planet,
mm-hmm.
and you could get, I don't know, 70 billion of them off, you should be able to have the resources that
uh-huh.
we have today.
You'd think. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Where Mars would need them more, since there are no resources,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
But so that's the fight.
That yeah, right. The fight is kind of the struggle for resources and power in our solar system.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the, and where do the people on the belt stand? They don't care. They just want to make money. Do they want to go to Mars or back to Earth ever?
Good question. I don't think so. I think the belt is kind of the belt. Like it has its own. It sounds like a really temporary place to be. It
yeah.
sounds like they're just.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, some of these like Ceres, the asteroid is like the size of our moon or something like that.
And so there's generations
right,
upon generations.
They just
people
live there.
Have been there forever.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. Maybe taking a crab fishing job in Alaska.
Yeah.
But people just kind of stay and colonize and stick around or something like that.
Okay.
It seems like a faraway bad deal at first.
Yeah.
But it just becomes a way of life, I think.
And do they all live, like, because there's no atmosphere on the belt, right? They all live inside on the belt, right?
Right. They have different, like, you know.
There's no sky.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's the biggest thing that's hard to believe why people would want to live on the belt or Mars.
Yeah.
Like, the Mars people talk about how wonderful it is, but it's like, you can't even see the sky. Like,
right. You're still...
One character gets taken to Earth for one day, and she's like amazed by the ocean and the sky and everything
yeah.
else. And it's like, it's really hard to believe that people would deal with these, you know, containment fields and
right.
For
like
generations.
Right, and I'm sure... But at a certain point, I think... I know that there are people who are raised in science fiction that I've read
mm-hmm.
That are raised on space stations and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And when they go down to planets... They freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it's just it's the
only life you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're just like, it's too big. I can't
right.
parse.
It's like the movie Room a few years back when the kid was born in a room. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Brie Larson's
I never saw it, but
thing.
I saw, yeah.
Right. So she was kidnapped and the child is born in this little kind of a shed, a garden
yeah.
shed that they're kept in his whole life. He's like five.
Yeah.
And that's all he ever knows.
Right.
So finally, spoiler
they
alert,
escape.
They escape. And he does not get it. He does not
right.
get that there. You can travel more than 8 feet.
Right.
at a
right,
time.
Right.
So,
and
yeah.
is he eight at the end of the movie? Is he
remember.
Five at the end
younger.
Of the movie?
I think he's yeah, something like that.
So hopefully can relearn
mm-hmm.
that there is mm-hmm. air and space.
Right.
Yeah. So
but
that,
yeah.
So what makes the show... I mean, what I liked about the show was sort of it wasn't the world so much as the drama, as the
mm-hmm.
as the story.
Yeah, that's big.
It was a little confusing because there seemed to be sort of rebels. There was some sort of rebellion. Like I feel like the billionaire kid ran away and joined the rebellion.
Yeah, there. I think it's called the OPA, the Outer Planet Alliance, is
okay.
like the Belters. You know, you asked earlier how the Belters feel, and you're right. There was rebellions among them and stuff like that.
Okay,
and they trying to get, you know, recognition and not just be like the
And they're
the
just
grocery market
work.
For Earth and Mars. Yeah. They want to be their own people too. So yeah, that is part of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this all comes clashing together. And yeah, one really cool thing about it is like you said, if they could just get along and like, you know, you take some of these resources and you take some of those, so we could all get along fine and not waste so much money on an arms race.
Yeah.
And then the parallel to today, gee, you think.
Right. It's the same problem.
The history of humanity for the past whatever 10,000 years has been like, why don't we just skip the arms races?
Yeah.
Whether it's nuclear or catapults.
Or sticks.
Right.
Yeah.
Why can't we just sign peace treaties and get along?
Right.
So it's kind of fascinating that, like, according to these authors, you know, it's a couple hundred years from now, nothing's changed.
Right. People are still the same. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
I had a history teacher who said, history never repeats itself. Human nature always does.
Oh, hilarious. So, yeah. Right. And the powers that be on the planet Earth, there's some older woman.
Yes.
I haven't seen this show in like 2 years.
Kristen Avasarala.
Okay.
And
that's the name of the actress?
No, okay. that's
the name of her character. Okay.
Right. She's like a UN. They're kind of not specific about her exact position, but she's a big UN.
She's like a giant politician.
Yeah. I think basically and I'm sure this gets delved into the books that they don't have time for in the TV show. The UN is kind of the world government, Earth's government. And she's big among them.
Okay.
So she's a major player politically.
But she isn't like the president of the world.
No, there is a guy who is the president of the world, and we don't see a whole lot of him.
Okay.
He's busy doing other things. So he's
busy being a figurehead.
Right. Yeah. I think basically she's a few levels below him.
Yeah.
But she's passionately against war. She does not want. Everyone's been worrying about Earth Mars war. For decades,
right?
It's USA USSR Cold War,
right.
kind of thing. If we can avoid this, is her big passion.
Okay, so that's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And is there another politician who wants it?
Eventually, I don't even know if he was in season one, but yeah, we there's somebody else in the UN ranks,
right?
Who is for it and. And
right,
kind of sees it as an inevitability, I think. And,
okay,
and we better strike first, or they're gonna kind of stuff.
Right. So the kid runs away on purpose. This is what I remember. Right.
Which like, kid?
I remember the
heiress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the detective is in the heiress's apartment on the belt.
Okay,
and he's like drinking her sparkling water or something. Uh-huh. Like she has rich people food.
Okay,
and he's like, oh, I'm gonna have this snack.
Okay.
She's not using it, and so to my knowledge, she joined the OPA, right?
I think so.
And then
it's been a few years since you've seen that season.
Yeah. So there are now three seasons of this mm-hmm. show, and so the first season is that's the mystery, right? Is what happened to this kid?
It gets started then,
right? And then the second and third season is it more about the war?
Yeah, we're trying to avoid war, and the war basically starts because there's. You know, battles are underway, right? And people have war games and military exercises have gone out of control and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the biggest thing is there's a foreign thing introduced. By foreign, I mean like extra. It's from somewhere else beyond our worlds.
Aliens, finally.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I don't know about aliens, but like some sort of substance sort of thing.
Okay.
Has been introduced. Somebody found it. I forget the origin. Maybe I figured it was on a comet or some deep space exploring thing found it. But it's super. It's a weapon.
Okay.
It can be weaponized, and it's kind of like semi organic.
Oh,
like
okay.
You can turn. It's. I hate to spoil for anybody, so skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear it. But this stuff has been found that can basically weaponizes humans and like kind of turns humans into superhuman attack machines and stuff like that.
Oh, hilarious. So it's like a super serum.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Or is it a symbiote?
Kind of both. I think there's a couple of versions of it.
Interesting.
I may be forgetting some details of it, so
sure.
I apologize, fans.
No.
But anyway, the main thing is that there's something from somewhere else,
right?
And it's blue and mm-hmm. it's glowy,
yeah.
And it can turn people into weapons and stuff like that.
Okay, and then so the what's the best thing? I mean, Is the best thing about the show the storytelling, or is it the science, or is it
It's got to be storytelling. Okay. That's the best thing about any good show, right?
Right, right, right.
Game of Thrones, it's not about the dragons. It's about the intrigue.
That's why I never watched it. Because I wanted it to be more about dragons.
Oh, okay.
I was don't hide your soap opera behind those dragons. Oh, that's funny. More about those dragons.
Well, it does get much more dragony by the end of it. They're kind of running the show.
If there's that. Right, yeah. if that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And so in the...
But yeah, the storytelling is wonderful. And of course, the world that they've
built. And so, and the story takes place parallel sort of on Earth, on Mars, and on the belt, right? And on ships.
Yeah. It's all at the same...
And so are there sort of four... Like, it's an ensemble cast, obviously,
for sure.
So if there's...
We're constantly bopping between what's going on Mars and Earth and...
Right. And so, like, I'm sure the politicians don't know the ship people.
Yeah.
They don't know that...
Exactly.
They're not aware that they specifically exist. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh...
Eventually they do.
Oh, do they?
Right.
Eventually okay.
The worlds collide and...
Oh,
and
good.
People come together and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I definitely want.
Oh,
I want worlds to collide. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, your girl, what's her name, Christian, mm-hmm. Ends up going on a diplomatic mission, and she ends up being rescued by the Rocinante crew.
Oh, okay.
The space foursome that we're talking about, and so yeah.
So then she
come
does
together,
meet
certainly
them.
By right.
Oh,
certainly by season three.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so season four is going to start. And was there also some problem? Wasn't there a bone density thing, like, don't they actually try to address the fact that you can't go back to Earth because your bones are...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There was something about little kids
That's a real-world problem. We've talked about Mars missions, mm-hmm. and you lose bone density in no time if you're not using it.
Yeah.
Like, we take gravity for granted.
It's true.
Vital for everything.
They can control gravity in this show, right?
Yeah, they have this, like, spin thing. You can, like, make a spaceship or a station or a spin. In fact, they made the asteroid Ceres spin in the belt. That's why they have gravity there.
Oh, interesting.
I was taking a look at book versus movie or show differences, and one big one is there's a lot more anti-gravity scenes in the book and the stories. Obviously, they take a lot more time and effort to make them in the TV show.
Right.
So the gravity machines are working most of the time.
Yes.
It's only here and there when something gets when somebody gets attacked and is thrown out of whack that they're out of gravity.
Yeah, it's just because you have to shoot that.
Right. Do you remember the pilot episode? There's like there's basically a famous space sex scene.
I think so. Like the
Jim
captain
Holden.
Of the
right.
Yeah.
Right. He's there's a love scene with him and a girl.
Yeah.
And anti-gravity
comes into
right. And they're kind of floating through the room.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a really interesting scene.
Yeah. That was a great scene.
Uh huh.
Okay.
So they address the anti-gravity some. Oh. But like beyond just like people are floating around, we learn like how important it is. There's a big battle in season two or three, I forget when there's a ship that's lost its gravity drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they have all these wounded people, and it turns out like without gravity, your wounds don't heal. If you have bleeding in your body, it like floats away and doesn't do the stuff. It doesn't heal. No, all the earth remedies are based on like gravity, and things will settle down.
Oh,
and
that's
if you don't have
fascinating.
Gravity, right, you're like your inner internal bleeding is just gonna kill you and stuff like that. So they have to make a massive like another ship has to like swallow its pride and take in the refugees and so they can have gravity to heal and stuff like that. So it's
super cool
how they address these things that we don't even think about because like we live in that tiny little capsule of a world where everything is oxygen, there's always gravity.
Yeah. Do you have science background?
No.
No? So this is kind of a fascinating learning mm-hmm. reveal.
For
fascinating.
Sure.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is an ad for Function of Beauty. That's right. It's Function of Beauty, by the way. FUNCTION. FunctionofBeauty.com/dork to get 20% off your custom formula. It's shampoo and conditioner. Yes. You get to pick exactly what they make, and it's amazing. You should know this, that it's vegan and cruelty-free. functional beauty addresses more than just one hair need, right? So like if you go to the drugstore and you get a brand of shampoo, it'll address a single concern like volume or strengthen. With Function of Beauty, you can choose up to 5 hair goals to add to your formula. So I did it. I took the quiz. The quiz takes about a heartbeat. It is amazing. It is very quick. So the Function of Beauty individually formulates every bottle of shampoo and conditioner based on your hair type, your hair goals, and your preferences. You can select your color and fragrance. I picked a pink and a purple because why not? Why not have purple hair shampoo? I love it. Anyway, you can opt for dye-free and fragrance-free if you want. The products are personalized, so your name is even printed on the bottle. I called mine. Anyway, Function of Beauty doesn't use sulfates, parabens, something that's... that sounds ominous. A phthalate, phthalates, mineral oils, or any other harmful ingredients. Here's what I did. You take the quiz. I picked deep conditioning because my hair is very thick. Color protection because I have a hairdresser who makes my hair all kinds of colors. I did straightening because my hair can get kind of wavy. And anti-aging because I am aging. Who is not? So that's what I did. I used it for the first time today, and it's nice and shiny, and my hair is soft, so it worked. That's what I'm telling you. So if you go to functionofbeauty.com/dork, you get 20% off your custom formula. Let's get back into the show. So do you want to talk more about The Expanse, or would you like to go to other science fiction?
We can hit a little more Expanse.
Please. Yeah.
Just a little bit more about the authors.
Yeah.
Daniel Abraham was a collaborator with George R.R. Martin, who wrote Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So that's why they have a lot in common. In fact, the other author, Ty Frank, was Martin's personal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that's how they met came together.
Oh, that's totally how they met.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why The Expanse has a real Game of Thrones influence.
Okay.
And connection and stuff like that. If you have
Is there a lot of incest?
Both. No, it's lacking.
It's lacking,
it's lacking
in incest.
Incest right, as far as
I'm okay
that goes,
with that.
For Game of Thrones connections.
It's my Game of Thrones. I was just like, and do they end up killing all the people that are good guys?
I don't know yet. We haven't seen how. It
no,
ends.
If you're 4 seasons into it, and the guy with the hat is and the politician lady are still alive, they would be dead in Game of
Thrones.
I'll tell you, by page 80.
I'll give you a half spoiler. Okay. One of those two isn't alive by the end of it.
Oh, fair enough.
So,
yeah.
So you'll have to see.
Right. Because I tried to read Game of Thrones. And then I tried to listen to it on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to watch the TV show. And then I went back and I was like, well, maybe I'll try the book again. And I could not do it. And it was because I could tell because of the way George R.R. Martin writes that he was going to kill everybody decent.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he finds it more interesting. I think he finds villainy more interesting than decency.
Yeah.
And so the villains win, the good guys die, and then you have to settle for the best of the villains.
Yeah.
And you're like, I see what you're doing. I don't say that it's not a way to write,
mm-hmm.
but it's not for me.
Yeah.
But other people freaking on board and mm-hmm. probably more like real life than not, you know?
Yeah.
Because Martin Luther King, dead.
Right.
Barack Obama, decent guy, not as good a guy as Martin Luther King. So, you know.
Yeah.
So it's whatever.
This always comes into play with stories and movies. It's
as
like,
an analogy.
Are we supposed to just mimic what we have or can we show the ideal version, what we want it to be? And it's like,
sometimes,
a lot of times the two are, well, that would never happen. Well, wouldn't it be nice if it did?
Right,
you know.
Right. You're going to be surprised by the word fiction. Because
mm-hmm.
I saw something the other day on Twitter where somebody said that they were watching Captain Marvel and they kept going, oh, come on. And I was like, wait a minute. You're going to be really disappointed.
Right.
You start watching Batman.
You know it's not a documentary,
right?
You're here for the crazy Captain Marvel.
You're here for the flying and the shooting fire out of your hands. So that's why you've come. That's why you've shown up.
Can I just say, we did a show together a few months back.
Yeah.
And David Huntsberger's Junk Show.
Oh, yeah.
And you were in a Captain Marvel jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, ah. I get her.
Yeah.
She's on board.
These are my Captain Marvel pants.
Oh, are they? Okay.
I have the whole tracksuit, like a weirdo.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Sure. I'll wear them. I don't have a problem. And So what else about The Expanse?
Oh, I think we just about covered most of The Expanse stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just Yeah, it's a big thing. If you take away one thing from this, listeners, it's so cool because it kind of bridges. It's the missing link. It sort of bridges the gap between, like, you know, what where we are now and what Star Trek is, and you know, what could we, you know, it's fun, but it's almost magical. The warp drives and the teleporting and all this super easy fixes.
Right, and it helps you think about the next generation of science. That's what I do love about science fiction.
Expanse is all about, like, where we really could be not far from now. Who knows what alien technology will show up on our doorstep? Probably something.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not it's this is something else, but, like, yeah, something influencing, you know, and tipping the tides of war and stuff like that will probably come up someday.
Sure.
So the universe is a big place.
It is a big place. So I saw Terry Pratchett. You mentioned Good Omens. Did you get to watch Good Omens?
Yes. Did you?
Yeah. I saw four of the six. I'm two episodes behind.
Awesome.
Turns out I've read the book several times.
Okay.
I know what's about to happen.
You know what's going on.
And I thought the adaptation was really great.
Okay.
I thought they did a pretty good job.
Okay. My guy, his favorite book ever, he's read everything, and his favorite book is Good Omens.
Okay.
So it had high expectations for me going in. And he loved the adaptation. How did you like it versus the book, by the way?
Oh, I thought that they did a pretty good job with the adaptation. I try to suspend my disbelief, or I try to be a little more open. I'm like, okay, this is an adaptation. This is,
sure.
There's no way, like Ready Player One, you know, I like the book better. Good Omens, I think they did about as good a job as you could, quite honestly.
It was Neil Gaiman who did the adaptation, right? You wrote the miniseries?
And it was British, you know? So it has that sort of hilarious BBC Doctor Who vibe.
Right.
Where you're like, some of the graphics and CGI is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of it is, you're on a back lot. Okay. But it doesn't matter. And all British actors on their British television are actors, like theater actors.
Yeah.
And that's why they're 100 years old. And I don't mind how old they are. It's pretty great. So did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it very much. Mm-hmm. We should say that the book was by, it was co-authored. It was Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. Terry Pratchett is literally my favorite author.
Oh, is he?
He is, for sure.
That's fascinating.
He bumped Kurt Vonnegut for that.
About
10 years ago. My guy got me on the Terry Pratchett the Discworld series, and I just never got off it. I'm still working on it.
right, yeah.
80% of the way through, but the Terry Pratchett's thing is fantasy, but with total, like, it's all metaphor,
right?
And social context, and
it's all wordplay and
oh
and,
yeah, plenty of that.
A lot of puns and a lot of that. It took
super
me
funny.
Six. Yeah, it took me six books to really like him.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to like him.
Okay.
And I'm not reading them in order. I'm just doing Discworld. It was just Discworld.
Right. Well, Discworld is like 90% of his.
Right. So I read Good Omens, and and I had read Sandman and a lot of.
I don't know much Neil Gaiman. I haven't read Sandman and stuff.
Right. Well, what I liked about Good Omens so much is that what Neil Gaiman did for Terry Pratchett was he took Terry Pratchett's silliness and smartened it. And what Terry Pratchett did for Neil Gaiman is it took his pompous seriousness and lightened it the fuck up. And the two of them were such a great collaboration.
Yeah. I suspect Terry Pratchett wrote, what's his name? The angel?
The good angel? The angel, not the devil?
I forget his name.
Yeah.
Right, and then Neil Gaiman basically wrote Crowley. I forget the other one's name.
You're right. He went from Crowley to Crowley. That's insane.
Okay.
And then
obviously they collaborate
and
work on each other's stuff. And but yeah, it definitely feels like one's the happy side of life, one's the downer side of life.
Right. There. But Crowley, the fact of Crowley yelling at his plants, that feels like. That feels like a Neil Gaiman thing that has been made funny by Terry Pratchett.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know either of them. I've never met either of them. I don't know. And I've only read, like I said, probably nine or I think I've read 14 Discworld books.
Okay, that's pretty good. Don't you feel like most people you meet have never heard of it and don't know what you're talking about?
Right.
I'm constantly explaining what he is to everybody.
Right.
I don't get why he's not more popular here.
I don't know. And when he passed away, I was
so
just
good.
Like, it was so great that he had this giant giant catalog of, of work that we can go back and, and read for years.
Which ones? Is there any Method Your Madness of the Discworld books?
Nope.
Like, did you read like the Witches series or used?
Yeah, it was the Iliad bookstore. Yeah, whatever they had sitting on the in paperback.
Yeah.
So
You can do it that way.
You can do it
because they're not super connected. They're not
they're standalone stories in the same and so the characters recur right.
Mm-hmm. And each book is its own thing.
Explain Terry Pratchett's Discworld, though.
Terry Pratchett's Discworld is it's his fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a disc-shaped world, so it's a flat Earth, if you will. And it's on. It's being held up by four massive elephants who are being held up by a massive turtle.
Right.
I think his name is Atuin. Floating through space.
Right, so there's a plate with four elephants on top of the back of a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And that and the turtle is the thing walking around the universe, right?
Right, or floating something? Or whatever
yeah,
it's
or
doing.
Yeah.
But that which sounds crazy bizarre out there, but it rarely even comes up.
It never comes up.
Once in a while it does.
Right.
But it's basically just a world. It's a medieval world.
Yeah.
So it's like Game of Thrones.
It's sort of
technology.
Sorcery. It's sword and sorcery stuff and the wizards and there are good guys and bad guys and bad decisions galore.
All the fantasy stuff you need.
Yeah.
The good guys are very good, the bad guys are very bad and stuff like that.
And the good guys are often very, very dumb. And it's one of my favorite things.
Do you know
about
Rincewind?
Terry.
Have you read Rincewind?
No.
He was his go-to original protagonist character. He's a dumb failed wizard.
Okay.
And he keeps getting pulled into adventures beyond his control and stuff like that.
Okay.
He's probably the star of, I don't know, 7 or 8 of the books.
Oh wow.
Of the like 50.
Right.
So there's a good chance you haven't come across him.
Right.
but he's the perfect hapless, you know.
But he is a wizard,
yeah.
And is wizarding
I think he failed wizard school. I don't think he ever got. By the end of it, he might be a wizard by Unseen Economicals, but initially he's like a wizarding school dropout.
Okay,
but he's like he's a fave.
Do
character.
People go to? I forget in I haven't read them in so long. Mm-hmm. Do people go to wizarding school because they have aptitude, or do they go because it's like going to tech school and you need to get a degree?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I don't remember.
Like
I'm sure they address that, but I can't remember if you need to be able to bend spoons when you're 5 to get.
Right?
To get,
are you?
Is it like a Hogwarts invitation?
Are people born magical and born non-magical? Like to use the Hogwarts?
Yeah.
To use a Harry Potter analogy.
I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
I suspect so.
Interesting.
But yeah.
So
I'm
what else
not
has
sure.
he written besides the Discworld? I haven't.
Terry Pratchett.
Yeah. Because I can't think of
his first book was called The Carpet People. And it's about a whole world that exists in your rug, literally. So like it's about micro people and like they're warring with each other. And I think like the bad guy is the vacuum. There's talk of a mega weapon called the vacuum or something like that. I haven't read it, but that's what I've heard about it.
He is a goof.
I know.
He's hilarious and a goof.
Right. If you have never read Discworld, pick it up or Terry Pratchett. It's the best.
And a good gateway is Good Omens. You know,
sure.
And and the TV show, because it's such an easy read, I would recommend people read it before they saw the show.
Okay.
Just because, did you read it before they saw the show? You just saw the show?
I just saw the show.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to get through the Discworld series.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to take the rest of my...
Well, the problem is, that is the problem with the fact that there's so much content right now. Is
I read before I go to bed at night, and I usually fall asleep in under a chapter.
Right.
I read about 7 or 8 pages a night.
So right.
It takes me 3 months to read a book.
Exactly.
And which I'm not proud of.
No, but I mean, there's so much stuff to read, too. Mm-hmm. So
a day doesn't go by, someone doesn't tell you have to read whatever.
And you have to watch a TV show,
mm-hmm.
or you have to see a movie. And there's only so much any of us can do. So,
right.
But I would say if you prefer to read than to watch TV, some people do, I do, I would recommend reading the book instead of watching the TV show, even though I really did like the TV show. I thought the production was quite good.
Yeah.
But the book itself, Good Omens, is essentially it's about an angel and a devil who have the devil or the Crawley he was the serpent, and Asphoral, or I forget his name.
Oh, that's right.
It was the angel was the guy who guarded the gates of the Garden of Eden. And so they've known each other since the beginning of the world. When the humans are kicked out of the Garden of Eden, Asphodel gives the humans his sword. They look like it was going to be hard out there. So he just gave him the sword. And then Crawley was like, what's wrong with knowing things? And so it's essentially this incredibly tongue-in-cheek, but really important discussion about the nature of what is evil and what is good. Like thousands of years later, 6,000 years later, 3,000 years later, whatever the I forget.
Yeah, I think it's like six.
I think it's six. The Crawley and the angel realize they have more in common with each other than they do with heaven and hell, respectively, which have both gone corporate. And so they decide that they don't want the apocalypse to happen and the end times. Though they're both, so they try to thwart it, but they're so bad at what they do, which feels a Terry Pratchett kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And though I will say Sandman, which is the Neil Gaiman, it's essentially about...
It's a graphic novel?
It's a graphic novel. See that to your right? See those large tomes?
Oh, my goodness.
Those are leather-bound versions of them, and they're gorgeous. It's very, very... compelling storytelling. It's about essentially the nine endless, and they're nine gods essentially, and Dream is one of them. The Sandman is one of them. And it's Dream and Desire and Destiny and Death, and they all start with D. And so the story of Sandman is such a great story of how he is being held captive in the beginning of the Sandman series, and how he escapes and the revenge he takes. And then it follows his life through these 75 or 150 comic books that Andy handed me when we first met.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you're going to want to read this. And then the next thing you want to read is this thing called Lucifer.
That's what happened to me. I got told, you want to check out this two shelves of Terry Pratchett books.
Exactly.
I was like, well, I picked it up one night. I'm like, well, let's flip through this.
Right.
And then I got hooked.
I think Good Omens came out after Lucifer, which was a spinoff of Sandman that he didn't write. Carey? Yeah, so Neil Gaiman, there was a spinoff of Sandman called Lucifer, because at some point during Sandman, Lucifer comes to, and that's a TV show as well.
I was going to say, is that the same thing?
It is, though I understand it is not very well done. It's okay, but it's much, much different.
Okay.
And the deal is this, is that Lucifer decides that he doesn't want to run hell anymore, so he gives the keys to Hades to Dream. To the Sandman.
Oh.
And he's like, I don't want this key. What? Why now? And then so gods come and try to get the key from him. And he's like, no, I'm just holding it for Lucifer. Go away. And but Lucifer, the great Mike Carey spinoff of this, is actually a very funny... that is kind of paralleled. I think Neil Gaiman got... Because it's about Lucifer... He hates, and Sandman created this character, or Neil Gaiman created the character where he doesn't like that God's ineffable plan. It's this whole thing about how God has this ineffable plan, which is just a cop-out. Because whatever you choose to do, God can then go, no, I knew you were going to.
Right,
go.
Yeah, I agree. I always hate the, like, God has a plan idea, and it's like, well... Why do we do anything if there's a plan and there's an inevitability?
Well,
and it's...
You have to, you know, the thing is you can fight the plan or you can not fight the plan. Mm-hmm. You can live with the consequences of fighting the plan, or you can rant and rave at the sky that you, you know, whatever. But so that was one of the reasons I really like Good Omens and Terry Pratchett. I mean, in the end, Terry Pratchett has that great kind of vibe where everyone should just choose to do things correctly and or with some compassion. And then when you don't, you're going to fuck up. It's going to be, and that's going to cause the drama of that.
Yeah.
So what now? Yeah. I have, of course, weeded off and co-opted your dorkdom.
No, I love it.
And
these are all favorite topics. So still on Terry Pratchett, I would just say one last thing for listeners.
Yeah,
If it sounds overwhelming to get into this 40 or 50 book saga.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of the recurring characters have their own like lines within it, so you can start reading the witches or the wizards or the watch. My favorite one is the watch. They're like the police force of this world, and they're some are good, some are bad. They're always funny and stuff like that.
Keystone Cops a little bit.
Kinda, yeah. They've talked for years about a TV show adaptation of The Watch.
Because
it's perfect. It's a procedural drama in a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. It's like so ready for it. So I don't know what's taking forever, but the material's ready to go.
Right. There's plenty of
who knows.
Content.
One thing that I remember hearing about Terry Pratchett requested within his lifetime was that like he didn't just want like a 2-hour feature film of a book just to put a movie out.
Right.
The only books that got adaptations got like 4-hour miniseries adaptations, because like he wanted everything in there. There's an adaptation of the Color of Magic, the first one, and the Hogfather, the Christmas one. They're all like 4 hours each because he did not want to settle and compromise.
Yeah,
which is kind of like more power to him. Except people just don't know who he is because there aren't like movies in the theaters of him and stuff like that.
So I saw Hogfather. Mm-hmm. It's a Christmas. It's a very distinctive Terry Pratchett Christmas weirdness. Yeah. And what is that one about again? I forget who the Hogfather is.
The Hogfather is Santa Claus essentially, but he's like a pig shaped, character. Yeah. And there's this overarching sort of like presence. I think Hogfather involves they're sort of like the accountants. They make sure everything goes not right or wrong, but like correctly in the universe. And they decided, I think, I haven't seen it in a while or read it in a while.
Yeah.
They decided that we've had enough with Christmas or something like that. Or these beings like Santa are like magical and not really of the world. So we're going to do away with them. So someone gets sent to do away with their Santa character.
Yeah.
But like Death steps it. Death is a recurring character.
Oh, right.
Literally the Grim Reaper.
Yes.
And he has to take on
Scythe and everything.
Right, Scythe and everything. And when Santa disappears, he has to take over. It's very much like the plot of The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
I looked it up and like it had come out a couple of years later, so I kind of feel like it was influenced.
Sure, that's a polite way to put it.
Yeah.
Because I think that Terry Pratchett has been hacked pretty bad because people don't know who he is. And so like we hear about him. Mm-hmm. Or he's sort of under the radar.
Yeah.
And once you introduce him, you're like, well, I'm just going to write a script that's kind of based on that.
My show, Fantasy Hospital, is totally influenced by
it.
It's a fantasy world. It's a hospital, kind of a hospital procedural in a fantasy world. So
Sword
totally
and Sorcery
has like,
fantasy world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many episodes are at fantasyhospital.com? There are 10 episodes.
10 short, like for 5 minute,
They're 5 minute cartoons.
Web series size.
Right.
But the point is, I'm not just plugging my stuff. It's totally Terry Pratchett influenced.
By the way, let's just tell him, by the way, it's Justin Marchert. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Justin Marchert.
Yeah.
It's like when you've heard the Beatles and your stuff is, when you hear the best, when you love the best, you're going to, it's going to come through. And
well, and everything to, not to be trite, but everything derives from something else.
Yeah,
you have to be influenced from Shakespeare to the Bible.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't, what am I, the Bible, you're such a hack. Or Shakespeare, you're such a hack. You're like, you're not a hack.
Right.
You're a human. You're alive.
Yes.
And as long
there
as you don't, take, if it's not verbatim and it's not on, egregious.
Right. I'm constantly wondering, like, can I have Death as a character? Death was an entity before Terry Pratchett ever lived.
Sure.
But he uses him so strongly and so well that I feel like these days to use him,
it
really looks like you're kind of taking his thing you already did. So
done, I'll show you the way that Gaiman used Death.
Oh, okay.
Because Death, she's essentially a goth character. And she's mellow.
Mm-hmm.
She's super. So there have been so many different adaptations of Death that your adaptation could be. It can be. There's always the your own spin on it. There's the exhausted Death. There's the Death that doesn't want to. Death takes a holiday.
Yep.
I mean, 1,000 movies and 1,000 different ways of dealing with it. And Death isn't going away. It'd be like saying, I don't want to use taxes.
Death is a character in Good Omens, for that matter.
Right?
One of the four
horsemen of the apocalypse.
Who now ride motorcycles because it's 2019.
Right. Death and war is fascinating in that.
And then the one that they changed was... Pestilence became pollution. right?
Right.
I think in the book, and this is told to me, that Pestilence says something like, yeah, I haven't been important ever since penicillin showed up, so now I'm focusing on pollution, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the famine character was my favorite in the book.
Oh yeah,
because he shows up. He has two things going. He started the fast. He's got a diet plan where he makes people starve to death, and then he has a new fast food restaurant where there's no nutritional value, and it's called Chow. And I believe they showed that in the TV show.
Okay.
Famine was pretty great. So Hogfather, what was the other specials that he did, the 4-hour specials? Do you remember?
The Color of Magic. I think it was the first two books.
Color with
one.
A U?
British spelling. Color of Magic.
What was that?
They're Rincewind stories. Rincewind is his original character. And then the sequel was The Light Fantastic.
Oh, that's
And I think they're combined into one two-part or multi-part story.
Are they on Netflix?
I don't know where you find it. Look around. I suspect they're on Amazon or somewhere.
Because Hogfather, I think, was on Netflix for a while.
Okay.
And so maybe it's on there.
And then I think the newest one is called Going Postal, which is like about the Discworld's version of the post office. I just read the book recently, and it's really good.
That's hilarious.
In fact, that's a new line of... Not even new. It's probably 20 years old. But that's probably the most recent line of Terry Pratchett Discworld characters. This character named Moist von Lipwig, and he's like he represents like technology and the Industrial Revolution, and the Discworld, like, you know, moving into like postal service and movies and trains and industrial kind of stuff.
Right. When magic meets technology, kind of thing. Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to be owls,
right,
Harry Potter.
Exactly.
So that's great. Which one are you reading now? I saw that you're reading
Thud.
What's
I'm reading
Thud?
A book called Thud. It's about it's the Watch again, which are the policemen of Discworld.
Okay.
And this is kind of there's a bunch of different beings that live together.
Yeah.
The main city in Discworld is Ankh-Morpork. It's basically London. But they have like trolls and dwarves and humans all live together, kind of like Harry Potter world.
Right.
But the dwarves and the trolls don't get along. They have like a centuries old history of animosity, and it's kind of coming to a head in this one, I think, is what they're getting at.
Okay, cuz this is part of a series, or is it a one-off
it's part
procedural?
Of Discworld. Well, it's part of the Watch series within Discworld, so it's probably the
but it's standalone by yourself.
Oh yeah, they're all standalone. But
okay.
but you'll know the characters from previous books.
Okay,
so like, the members of the Watch I already know from different books and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. Have you ever read Jasper Ford?
Oh,
they're
like
Jane Eyre.
They have like fairy tale stories and names and stuff like that.
Yeah,
no, my guy has. He has a whole bookshelf of them.
Right, because they're very good too.
Okay,
I think you'll like.
I think I was told
if you like Terry Pratchett, you'll probably like Jasper.
I've heard that before.
Ford. He's got two Fs, which he gets to keep because he's Welsh.
All right,
it's not hipster extra F. It's Welsh extra F.
Okay,
so good for him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I've got a couple of his books up there.
Okay,
so,
yeah. I've heard good things on him.
Yeah, that's great. So let's see. What the Fantasy Hospital, is it... here's what I want to know now, because we're in like the last 5 minutes. Is so if people go to Justin Marchert?
Yeah.
Marchert.
That's my everything site that takes you to my animation, comedy, acting...
All of
reels
it.
Of everything, right?
Okay, and then it'll have links to like Instagram
to,
and Twitter.
That'll take you to Fantasy Hospital too, if you want.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. There you go. And if you start at fantasyhospital.com, you can also go back to Justin.
Oh, you should
Marchert?
Be able to.
Hopefully,
shouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. That should go
I
both
may have
ways.
To double check that.
And
to mention it.
But I like the idea that are the doctors human or are the doctors everything?
They're mostly from this other world.
Okay.
This fantasy world, The High Wizard, voiced by Will Wheaton, declares that for political purposes he needs more votes. So the humans in this world are sub. They're the least lowest life form.
Oh, interesting.
Humans, right?
Pets.
I wouldn't go as far as pets, but they're like they're They rank well below elves and dwarves and okay. everybody else. Mm-hmm. The wizard needs more votes for his upcoming election, the high wizard. So he declares votes for humans.
Oh,
so and we're going to treat them well and treat them in hospitals. So the doctors are like, oh, we need to find a human who knows how to do this. So they tap into the internet and they find they get porn for the first 3 days.
Sure.
And then eventually they sort through it and find out there's a world called Earth and we're gonna get a doctor from there and pull him over here. And of course they get the wrong one. They get the idiot
by
the school dropout son of the genius of doctor and then,
so close.
That's kind of the premise, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So fantasyhospital.com. And there's 10 episodes and they're 5-minute episodes.
Yeah,
and,
something like that.
So easy enough for people to get into.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then
it's fantasy comedy. So if you like this kind of stuff. This
will go up July 9th. You got any shows you want to plug for the American public?
I have
public?
A couple of July shows.
Or the German public?
My website and Instagram and all that.
We'll post
calendars of things.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And
got a San Diego show Wednesday. Oh, yeah, in 2 days. So it's.
Oh, right.
Well,
you're going to miss it.
Okay.
Right.
But
and
I always have stuff going on coming up.
So, and do you do the Huntsberger junk on a regular?
Not super. I've done it a couple times.
Okay. Me too. Me too.
And
David Huntsberger has been on the Dork Forest. Rangers will remember him.
What did you guys talk about?
Horses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a horse dork.
I didn't know that was his thing.
Yeah, yeah. He likes to put his face right behind the nose of a horse and smell the horse right there.
Oh, wow.
That is a very specific part of a horse that he would like to smell, and he says it smells just like new-cut grass.
Oh, wow.
And he says it's his favorite part. And his dad and his uncle wanted to be cowboys, and so they became cowboys.
Wow.
That's,
I did not know that about him.
It's a pretty great David Huntsberger, very funny, has a good show, and then...
Yeah, it's a really cool show. They do stand-ups as well as animation.
Right.
So that's how I got involved with them. We played episodes of Fantasy Hospital at...
Oh, perfect.
At his thing.
Yeah.
And, I think I learned about him listening to Allison Rosen's podcast.
Right.
And she's a voice on Fantasy Hospital, too. So
oh, fair enough.
Everybody's,
I think I've done Allison Rosen's podcast.
Allison Rosen is your best friend?
Yes.
I'm sure you have.
She was, I believe, she became my new best friend for an hour.
Awesome.
It was very exciting. And but people should definitely go out and find your animation. And
thanks so much.
Yeah. We were going to talk about animation, but we are, I don't know.
That's okay. We got plenty.
We got 30 minutes of Expanse.
Right.
We got
sci-fi
25 minutes
alone,
of Terry Pratchett. It has been, thank you very much for
thank
being on the
so
show,
Justin.
Thank
you so much for having me. It was wonderful.
Sure. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?